Good evening, class. Well, we got another meeting here, second class of the year, and we're going to go a little bit further this time. We got stuck on a few things, but I basically use that first class every year for introductory, trying to get something established, a basis for what we're here for and why Apostle assigned this class to be taught. And I want to use certain scriptures here. We're still building foundation. And we're going to be building foundation this whole class year. But after you get the ground all level up, you start putting a little wood to start building. And I'm trying to, once we level the ground up for the foundation, as a builder would build a construction for a building or a home, then he starts laying the woodwork for the foundation. So he can start pouring the foundation or making it sturdy and where you can rest upon it. And so we want to get a foundation built strong enough, established in your heart so you can understand why we do certain things, why the church built on authority, why God established authority in the first place. So this class here, we're going to be dealing with Hebrews 1 and 3. Well, not only the purpose of authority, but we're going to be talking about what and who is authority. All right, so Hebrews 1 verse, let's start at verse 1. Hebrews 1 and 1, and our purpose here is to establish the authority that God has set up so we can know who exactly is this authority, how far it extends, and where it ends. It has no end, because God has no end. So Hebrews 1 and 1 says, God, who has sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, had in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now, those two scriptures here talk about God, how he spoke to us in the beginning, used the prophets, all the major and the minor prophets. They proclaim the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, but in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, that the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the world. So different dispensation of God coming to earth. Different ways that God communicated to man through a prophet. He had to have a Moses. One time he told Moses, you'll be God unto the people. My goodness. See, Moses was a prophet. And so he used Moses' voice as his voice. But this other dispensation, he sent Jesus, and Jesus began to reveal to the people the very image of God. That third verse is going to tell us. Who being, talking about Jesus, the brightness of his glory, of whose glory? Of God's glory. And the express image of his person. See, this scripture always intrigued me because it answered questions that are always wanted to know, and it was right here in the scripture all the time, and never saw it. I always want to know what God was like. God, what are you like? We can't see you, you know? And then I read the scripture, Jesus is the exact image of our Father God. He, matter of fact, look what it said. He's the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. If you want to see God, look right at Jesus, because Jesus was the personification of his Father God. He told the Pharisees, the religious folks, one time, he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. One disciple asked him, says, sure the Father is the spice of us. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And so Jesus was the image of God. He talked, he taught like God. He loved like God. He healed like God. Everything that Jesus did and said and felt, that's how God do, says, and feel about everything. Well, how Jesus feel about this? That's how God feel about it. Well, what God think about this? Well, however Jesus thought about it. Was God full of compassion? Was Jesus full of compassion? Do God want to heal me? Did Jesus want to heal you? I'm trying to show you two instances. Jesus is everything God is. God is everything. God is everything to us through Jesus. And so, then he also said, all things were created by him. You see it? Now you can go back to John 1 and define that. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. But my point is that Jesus, God, is the authority. And when God made Jesus, or when God brought you to the earth, God brought himself to the earth. Paul made a statement. He said, if they known who Jesus was, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But they couldn't recognize him. They didn't know God. They thought they knew God. If they knew God, they would have recognized who Jesus was. Amen. Now, the rest of that verse said, he was appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. The third verse said, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding, this is the part I wanted to get to right here. This was going to talk about the authority of God through Jesus. Upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, with this scripture in play, we're going to see something here I need to understand. I'm finally getting to my notes class. So we can kind of get some points done here. Now, point number one. I didn't get any points in the last class because we were building foundation. But this is point number one. For God's authority represents God himself, whereas his power stands only for his acts. Now see, I said earlier in the introductory class last week that something Brother Nee says sometimes seem a little bit hard, or a little bit hard to understand, but when you understand the culture that he was teaching from and his understanding of the culture of the time, you can understand why he speaks the way he speaks, because your understanding has to be biblical understanding also to understand it, and you can't bring everything into the 21st century because in the times that this was being taught and being preached, you have to understand the times and the culture of the people. But God can still, he's the same God, you see. So, but I'm talking as far as understanding scripture, for instance. Now let's read this again, this statement he made here. For God's authority represents God himself. We see, God's authority represents God himself because God is the authority. And so God can't recognize nobody else but himself when it comes to authority. So right here, this might seem like a difficult statement to understand, but it says, for God's authority represents himself, whereas his power stands only for his act. Now here you got two terms here. You got God's power. Then you got God's act. Now, let me read some more, then I'm going to show you something else. Point number two. Sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against authority, because the latter is a sin against God himself. Now, I can bring these two points together now. The first thing is that God's power stands only for his act. God's authority represents God himself, where his power stands only for his act. So, keep this in mind here. God's power is always released to his words. Now, what are you saying? What are you saying, teacher? God's word, I'm trying to get it where you can understand it, releases his authority. God's power, it released through his word. And his word releases his authority. Now, we're going to make that plain. When God said, let there be light, then the scripture said, and there was light. Well, God's authority was released through those words, let there be light. How else God going to release his authority? He released it through words. God said, let there be light. And the scripture said, and there was light. And his authority was released through his words, and his word became the authority. And it sounds like it's a simple statement, but it carries the weight of God. So, John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. So God does everything. I'm going to pick up my Bible here. God does everything through words. His Word releases authority. And his power stands for his act. Now, I'm not going to explain that. See, once we get this, I'm taking my time. But once we get this point established, then you're going to understand the whole of the lesson. God's power stands for his act. Now, to understand this, you got to turn with me to Psalm. It's not in your book. Psalm 103. And you're going to see something here. Psalm 103. I got to find out what verse it is. But this is going to help you understand exactly what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Psalm 103. Verse 7. Are you with me, class? Stick with me. Stick close because I got to get through this little hurdle here. We're about to jump a hurdle that's going to help us. This is a mystery that's going to help us understand all mysteries, like Jesus said. The 7th verse says, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts, you see that word acts, unto the children of Israel. He showed his ways unto Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. And his power, I'm going to read that again now. God's authority represents God himself, whereas his power or the release of his authority, what it does, stands only for his act. And what is the act? The act is the result of his authority. Let there be light. And there was light. That was his act. It's the produce, it's the production, it's the fulfillment, is the manifestation of his word becomes his acts. His power stands for his acts. Now, the next step, I took my time because the next statement that I'm going to make, you're going to have to hear the first statement to understand the second statement. I'm going to read it one more time here. For God's authority represents God himself. What I said, Claire? I said God's authority represents God himself. So, God's word is himself. See, Jesus said, John said, in the beginning was the word, the word of God, the word with God. That's God himself. That word is God himself. And so, God's authority represents God himself, whereas his power, which is the release of his authority, stands only for his act. Now, here's the next question, or the next statement that I need to really ponder the second statement so you can understand the third. Here's the third statement here. And you got to catch this. I'm taking my time, class. Sin against power. Now, what I say power was, power is the release of his authority, which stands for his act. So, Brother Nee says, sin against power is more easy, or let's say his commandments, is more easily forgiven than sin against authority. Now we're about to put the rubber on the road now. I'm gonna say it one more time. Sin against is not confusing, but you got to see it. Sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against authority. Why? Because the latter is a sin against God himself. See, because God is authority. Now let me break down to everyday language now. I'm breaking down. I'm going to speak outside of Brother Watchman Nee's lesson. So, when you sin against God's commandment, thou should not steal, and you take somebody's tablet and you put it in your purse, and even though you sin, he's saying it's more easily forgiven than sin against authority. Sin against God's commandment or his act. It's more easily forgiven sin against authority. Why? Because when you sin against authority, you sin against God himself, and then that brings about the principle of what the whole class is talking about, rebellion. Rebellion when you sin against God himself, because you're sinning against authority. Anytime you sin against your delegated authority, you're not sinning against that person, you're sinning against God himself, and then God got to judge you himself because you're not sinning against his act, his commandment. Oh, he'll forgive you if you steal something. But when you sin against through rebellion, it's a whole different animal because you're coming against God. God said, nah, I can't trust you now. Well, what God said, you're coming against me now. Now, class, it might sound like a simple thing, but I'm trying to show you the dangers of being a rebellious person, because this submission to authority is understanding authority. When you sin against God's delegated authority, you sin against God himself, and you put you at odds with God. He'll forgive you for stealing. John, in the epistle, see, if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Well, that's sin. That's sin against his commandment. You know, you break a law, you do this. But rebellion is over in 1 Samuel, he was talking about Saul. He says, sin is like the rebellion is like witchcraft. What witchcraft? Satanic principle being violated. See, anytime you rebel, it's a satanic, we're going to get more into that. It's a satanic principle involved. And so you don't want to get over in that realm of Satanism where Satan had to, we're going to talk about Satan and how Satan got overthrown. Now, see why I have to lay a foundation? Because we're about to get into some deep waters here, Claire. So I'm trying to get the foundation solid enough so we'll be able to build this thing with understanding and with wisdom. And be able to understand how detrimental it is when you begin to walk in this area here. The higher you get in authority, the more knowledgeable you have to be of spiritual matters and your words that are being released out of your mouth, because you're not just speaking for yourself no more. If you're a minister, you're speaking for God, and you have to be in you. It's very. It's a very awesome thing to put yourself in the hands of God. And that's what we're trying to prevent people from putting themselves in the hands of God. Because rebellion pushed into God's hand, and God got to judge you. I remember when I was a little boy. This class is going to get better as it go. This is my foundation. I remember when I was a little boy, me and my brother, we used to do some things, boy. Used to work with my mom so much. And she used to make this statement. She said, I'm just going to put y'all in the hands of the Lord. Oh, boy, when she said that, something would go through me. I said, no, mama, deal with us yourself. Don't put us in God's hands. I had the fear of God in me. No, mama, don't put us in the hands of God. Whip me. Spank me. Whatever you do, don't put me in God's hands. No, no. We had the fear of God. We grew up with the fear of God. Didn't understand everything. But don't turn me loose over into God's hands, mama. Yes, indeed. So sometimes rebellion, and we're going to get into it more, but I'm just trying to whet your appetite a little bit, but what we're trying to hear. So sin against authority is sin against God himself, whereas sin against power is only sin against his act. See, I'm trying to get it to you, class, because we're going to deal with the two things. Sin against God's commandment, you know, that's sinning. You lie to somebody, then the law convicts you. And says, oh, so you shouldn't have told. Then you go back, find that person, and say, look, I'm sorry. I didn't tell you the whole truth. Can you forgive me? Yeah, I'll forgive you. And then all Jesus said, you know, if you repent, God forgive you for all your sins. But you talk, we put that sin against rebellion, against God, or rebellion, in another category. That's the sin that kicks Satan out of heaven. And we're going to look at that next class. I don't have time to go to it today. But we're going to find out that God's throne is established on his authority. Everything that God built is on his authority. So you don't want to sin against that. You don't want to come against Almighty God. Oh, my. Oh, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. No, you don't want to be judged by it. You'd rather men judge you. Yeah, you'd rather men judge you. Oh, it's a fearful thing. I've seen men. I've heard men. Apostle tell the story. He said, this man came to him and fell down on his knees. And he said, can you forgive me? He said, I put my mouth on you and nothing been going right for me. See, God was putting a judgment on him. And people had even died coming against apostle in certain areas of their life. And they don't know why they died. Because they spoke against him. You see, well, you can't just say anything against a man of God. See, that's for you too. Somebody speak against you. Jesus said, better if somebody tie some bronze stone against the neck and cast him to the sea than to fool one of God's little one. See, when you become an authority of a representative of God, God don't take it lightly. You represent him. So if you're walking in the fivefold ministry or you serving God in any kind of way, you represent him. And God is not going to let anybody misuse you. When they come against you, they're coming against him. And so that's why we got to walk upright. We got to make sure we're walking according to God's word and according to God's plan and doing what we know is right. So with all that being said, I spend a lot of time on this because I want you to understand the two lines that are being drawn here. Sin against power on one side, which sin against the act of God, his commandment, don't do this, don't do that, the laws of Moses that he established, they had all kind of laws. And then people had to offer sacrifices. Thank God for Jesus, he became the one sacrifice. And on this other side over here, we got sin against God himself. When you sin against his authority, you sin against him. Now, class, if you don't understand nothing else in the class, understand this point I just brought in. These last two statements I just gave you. Because they're going to be crucial to your understanding the whole lesson here. Because it's a dividing line between authority being represented or misrepresented. It's a line drawn when your words become a snare unto you. You see it? You got to be careful what come out of your mouth. Because once you learn this, you'll be held accountable. You see it? Be careful what you say about spiritual leaders. Because you're going to find God being judged you. You know, you don't want to be judged by God. Sometimes God is so merciful, he gives people space to repent. Say, oh, I wish they get it straight. Oh, I hope they wouldn't get it straight so I can pull my hand completely off of them. And that's why these lessons are here today. And most churches have suffered. Most church people have suffered enormously. Because of the lack of knowing what we were trying to teach you today. How to understand authority, how to establish yourself in it, and how to submit to it, and how not to resist it. in the world system, oh, class, hear me, please. In the world system, in the home system, and in the church. You see, why? See, the home, see, the husband supposed to represent God in the family, and the wife supposed to have the submissive role, and the children represent the church, with which we to establish and govern them and bring them up in righteousness. And so once we get that established in the home, and then you're building the church before the church is established as itself. Paul talks about this. He said, if a man can't rule his own household well, if your house is not ordered by God, if your household is not in subjection to you, how do you expect the church to be in subjection to you? God gave us the home as a training ground. If you can't keep 3 and 4 under subjection, how you gonna do God's church? No, you got to represent God's authority well. You got to function in your home as Christ would function in this world system. You got to love like He loved. You got to be mindful of how to walk in the Spirit. You see it? So, class, we got a little ways to go, and we got a little homework to do. But I want you to understand these lessons well, because these lessons are going to help us in time to come. I know these lessons changed my life enormously, changed my family life, my home life, made me a better servant to my spiritual leader. I tell you what, I can be more of a help to him and not of a hindrance. I don't want to be a hindrance to my apostle. I don't want to be a hindrance to the church leaders. No, if I can't be a help, I don't want to be a hindrance. All right? Now, this next statement is, it says, God alone is authority in all things. Everybody say all things. Now that brings us back to that 13th chapter of the book of Romans. You see how God is authority. He established authority. But He's authority in all things. All the authorities of the earth are instituted by God. See, that's going back to Romans 13. Authority is a tremendous thing in the universe. Nothing overshadows it. It's therefore imperative for us who desire to serve God to know the authority of God. You see what I say? It's therefore imperative for those who decide to who desire to know God and to serve God, know the authority of God. And you have to know that. You have to know that. So God's throne is established on His authority. Make a note of that. What I say? God's throne is established on authority. What are you saying? See, God's throne represents God Himself, and His whole throne is built on authority. Everything that released from the throne room is His authority. Now, you remember the scripture in Hebrew? I think it's Hebrew 4:16. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of God. You see, when you say boldly, you're not talking about disrespectfully. You're talking about with confidence. No, you can't just enter into God's presence with boldness. Yeah, you know you got a right to go there, but you got to come before God with a confidence and not with arrogance, but with a respect and reverence. So let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So that throne is who God is, and everything that God has is come from His throne. It released from His throne. Through what? Through the power of His words. You see it? God's word is His authority. And when those words are released, it becomes His power. See, His word releases His power. And that power comes from His authority, who He is. Are you with me, class? I hope you understand this. You got to understand that. And so next statement, you got to keep these are some statements I want to keep in mind here. For God's authority represents God himself, whereas his power stands only for his act. I'm repeating this because you need to know this. God's authority, remember that, represents God himself, whereas his power stands only for his act. Then this other statement I just gave you, these are the two things that separate the whole rebellion, whether you rebel against God or not. These two statements kind of separate sin against God's power, sin against God's authority. It's two different things. See it? And that's why I took so much time. The last statement said, sin against authority is more easily forgiven than sin against power. You see? No. Let me read it right. Sin against authority is more, no, that's still wrong. You see it? Sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against authority, because sin against authority is sin against God himself. You get that time? See, what I was reading just now was one of my questions for the test. I give you one of the answers to my question. It was the true and false. Let me read it. I'm going to give it to you. I'm just going to throw this in to you. This is how the test question is going to read, class, and I'm just going to throw this one in, and I'm going to get it right for you so you can know how my test is going to look. One of my test questionnaires, it might be a quiz question. Sin against authority is more easily forgiven than sin against power. Now think about that. Sin against authority is more easily forgiven than sin against power. No, that's false. Because sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against authority. Why? Because sin against authority is sin against God himself. So sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against authority. Because you sin against God's act when you sin against his power. I hope I'm not speaking Greek to you. It's not confusing. But this question is false. Because it says sin against authority is more easily forgiven than sin against power. No, that's false. It goes the other way. Read your book. It's in your book. So it's sin against authority is not so easily forgiven. You see it? Because you sin against God himself. You enter into the realm of rebellion. You're anti-Semitic to God. And you have need to learn about the principle of submission. Now, let me just whet your appetite on what we're going to be talking about next week. I can't get into it fully, but I want you to start reading this. These two segments of scriptures here, they're going to prepare you for next week. One of them over here is in, one is in Isaiah. Chapter 14, verse 12 to 15. If you just can read this, so when we start teaching it, what are we talking about? Satan's origin. We're going to talk about his origin and how his origin, how he was set up and how, and the thing that caused him to rebel against God. What he said and how he felt, what he thought. Rebellion always begins in your thought life. It's always thoughts in your soul. And Satan's principle has never changed. He always want to put a thought, something to create a reasoning factor in you. Once you create this reasoning cycle and you start the thinking and thinking on this thought, and it's really meditation in opposite. Now you meditate God's words, but you can meditate Satan's word, and it creates rebellion. When you meditate God's word, it produces power. Power to manifest God's word. And so once Satan gets you to thinking on the wrong thing, then he got you started. And so you got to learn to resist these thoughts. One scripture we're going to use is casting down imagination. And I'm trying to show you, I'll give you a little prelude of next week's class. Casting down imagination in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So Satan implanted a thought, wrong thought.